So last week, a conservative Republican senator from Oklahoma was charged with child prostitution after police found him in a motel room with a 17-year-old boy. I suppose that we've heard enough of these stories that it isn't especially shocking anymore. Nor is it a surprise that the senator had a history of supporting anti-LGBT legislation, including the incredibly controversial and unkind bathroom bill. Remember, this is the law that would force transgender people to use the public restroom that matches the gender designation they were given at birth and not the gender that they are currently living as. Given the fact that people who are transgender and gender nonconforming are most likely to be beaten or killed for using what is perceived to be the wrong bathroom, this bill is particularly cruel to an already vulnerable population. The senator, Ralph Shorty, is just one of many others who has built their career around the image of being a family values representative of the GOP, only to have it discovered that they themselves could not live up to the high moral standards that they brandished. Remember the moral majority of the 1980s, led by Jerry Falwell, an evangelical Christian political campaign, a popular movement inspiring intolerance of women's rights and the LGBT community. And then in 2004, the term moral values was being kicked around a whole lot in the media. In exit polls during the 2004 presidential election, people were asked which one issue mattered most when deciding how they voted for the president. And more respondents chose moral values than any other issue. And among those who responded that way, 80% voted for George W. Bush. A large percentage of the American people believed that he stood for morality, for what was right and decent. There's an inherent implication, then, that his anti-choice, anti-gay platform was the only truly moral stance a person could have. Other ideas, like a woman's right to choose what happens to her own body and the rights of people in the LGBT community, for example, were simply immoral. And I want to break these words down just a little bit. Morals simply refers to the standards of behavior in terms of what is acceptable and unacceptable. It's about judgment of good and bad, right and wrong. Values are beliefs that a person or a social group holds about what is important. Its etymology is from the Latin word valere, meaning to be worth. So the terms put together are a designation of a particular standards of behavior which are of most worth. Of course, both ideas are culture-bound. As much as some might like to make it otherwise, standards of behavior and beliefs about what is important vary from group to group. The term moral values is itself unbiased and impartial. But back around that 2004 election, the term had taken on a very precise and narrow meaning. It was being equated with a very specific set of fundamentalist Christian values. Theologies that hold that some people are sinners destined for hell and some are saved do not embrace the spiritual universality of the human family. A theology of separation like this encourages a divisive us versus them way of thinking. It encourages people to reject certain people as other, as unclean, as unworthy, undeserving of love and respect. And maybe this is why many of you find yourselves here this morning. Our Unitarian Universalist faith tradition is one of welcome and inclusivity, appreciation for differences. We lift up the values of universal love and salvation. We draw the circle as wide as we can, embracing people in all their glorious diversity, knowing that by doing so, we are enriching each of our own experiences as well. We are not bound together by creeds or dogmas, but instead, our congregations covenant together to affirm and promote our seven principles. The seven principles of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations grew out of the grassroots of our communities and were affirmed democratically. And they are part of who we are. I'm going to share the principles, the grown-up versions of the principles, and a brief reflection on each one, each by a different Unitarian Universalist minister. The first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker writes, "Reverence and respect for human nature is at the core of Unitarian Universalist faith. We celebrate the gifts of being human, our intelligence and capacity for observation and reason, our senses and ability to appreciate beauty, our creativity, our feelings and emotions, and we cherish our bodies as well as our souls. Just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy," the great 20th century Rabbi Abraham Heschel wrote. Unitarian Universalists affirm the inherent worth and dignity of each person as a given of faith, an unshakable conviction calling us to self-respect and respect for others. Our second principle, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. My colleague, the Reverend Emily Gage, reflects, "Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations points us towards something beyond inherent worth and dignity. It points us to the larger community. It gets at collective responsibility and reminds us that treating people as human beings is not something that we simply do one-on-one, but something that has systemic implications and can inform our entire culture's way of being. Compassion is something that we can easily act on individually. We can demonstrate openness, give people respect, and treat people with kindness on our own, but we need one another to achieve equity and justice. Our third principle is acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. And Reverend Rob Hardies, who serves our congregation in Washington, D.C., writes, "Spiritual growth isn't about a vertical ascent to heaven, but about growth in every dimension at once. It's spirituality in 3D. Growth in spirit doesn't measure one's proximity to a God above, but rather the spaciousness of one's soul, its volume, its capacity, its size. We need souls that can take in the world in all its complexity and diversity, and yet still maintain our integrity. And we need souls that can love and be in relationship with all of this complexity. Instead of fight or flight, we need a spiritual posture of embrace." The fourth principle, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Reverend Paige Getty says, "As responsible religious seekers, we recognize that we are privileged to be free, to continually search for truth and meaning, to exist beyond the bonds of dogma and oppression, and to wrestle freely with truth and meaning as they evolve. This calls us not to be isolated and self-centered, but rather to be humble, to be open to the great mysteries that life offers. And those mysteries may speak to us through our own intuition and experience, but also through tradition, community, conflict, nature, and relationships. As a faith tradition, Unitarian Universalism makes sacred the right and responsibility to engage in this free and responsible quest as an act of religious devotion. Institutionally, we have left open the questions of what truth and meaning are, acknowledging that mindful people will, in every age, discover new insights. Our fifth principle, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. The Reverend Parisa Parsa reflects that in our religious lives, the democratic process requires trust in the development of each individual conscience, a belief that such development is possible for each of us, as well as a commitment to cultivate our own conscience. We could call it a commitment to the value of each person. In the words of Unitarian minister Theodore Parker, democracy means not, "I am as good as you are," but "you are as good as I am." My connection with the sacred is only as precious as my willingness to acknowledge the same connection in others. Our sixth principle, the goal of world communion with peace, world community, with peace, liberty, and justice for all. My good friend, the Reverend Sean Parker Dennison, muses, the sixth principle seems extravagant in its hopefulness and improbable in its prospects. Can we continue to say that we want world community, peace, liberty, and justice for all? The world is full of genocide, abuse, terror, and war. What have we gotten ourselves into? As naive or impossible as the sixth principle may seem, I'm not willing to give up on it. In the face of our culture's apathy and fear, I want to imagine and help create a powerful vision of peace by peaceful means, liberty by liberatory means, justice by just means. I want us to believe and live as if we believe that a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all is possible. There is no guarantee that we will succeed, but I can assure you that we will improve ourselves and improve the world by trying. And our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Reverend Forrest Gilmore says that our seventh principle is a glorious statement, yet we make a profound mistake when we limit it to merely an environmental idea. It is so much more. It is our response to the great dangers of both individualism and oppression. It is our solution to the seeming conflict between the individual and the group. Our seventh principle may be our way of becoming, our way of coming to fully embrace something greater than ourselves. The interdependent web, expressed as the spirit of life, the ground of all being, the oneness of all existence, the community-forming power, the process of life, the creative force, and even God, can help us develop that social understanding of ourselves that we and our culture so desperately need. It is a source of meaning to which we can dedicate our lives. So these principles, these ideas that we as Unitarian Universalists agree are of highest worth, reflect our moral values. These are progressive, liberal religious values. And remember, it is not simply that we agree to affirm these ideas, but we agree to promote them. And that word is significant. It implies some action is required on our part as individual members and as on the part of all of the around 1,000 congregations around the country. We realize that the line between each of our spiritual lives and our political lives is not clearly delineated. Our spiritual convictions and philosophical ideas inform all of the choices that we make. How can we affirm and promote justice, equity, and the inherent worth and dignity of every single person here each Sunday, and then go out and support laws that are unjust, that support inequality, or diminish the value of certain people? Our spiritual lives and our beliefs about what is good and right do not stop when we leave this campus. We are not like those grocery carts that the wheels cease up when you try to take them out of the parking lot. Our desire for just policies in our government is part of who we are. It's no wonder that trying to keep these separate feels like an artificial boundary. About a month ago, the Unitarian Universalist Association and the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee heads came together and wrote a declaration of conscience. And they offered this declaration to individual Unitarian Universalists and entire congregations as a tangible statement of our commitment to putting our values into action to resist hate and fear and bigotry. They invited us to sign this declaration as individuals and as various congregations. You may remember I read it and I signed it here in the podium. Actually, it was up in the hall at the podium. And following that service and the one after it and for a couple weeks after, we continued to collect signatures. We collected close to 200 signatures. That statement is rooted in our shared faith statements, our seven principles. And I want you to hear it one more time. Here is the Declaration of Conscience. At this extraordinary time in our nation's history, we are called to affirm our profound commitment to the fundamental principles of justice, equity, and compassion, to truth and core values of American society. In the face of looming threats to immigrants, Muslims, people of color, and the LGBTQ community, and the rise of hate speech, harassment, and hate crimes, we affirm our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. In opposition to any steps to undermine the right of every citizen to vote or to turn back advances in access to health care and reproductive rights, we affirm our commitment to justice and compassion in human relations. And against actions to weaken or eliminate initiatives to address the threat of climate change, actions that would threaten not only our own country but the entire planet, we affirm our unyielding commitment to protect the interdependent web of all existence. We will oppose any and all unjust government actions to deport, register, discriminate, or despoil. As people of conscience, we declare our commitment to translate our values into action as we stand on the side of love with the most vulnerable among us. We welcome and invite all to join in this commitment for justice. The time is now. So the Reverend A. Powell Davies is one of my Unitarian minister heroes. He was the Unitarian minister at All Souls Church in Washington, D.C. in the 1940s and 50s, and he helped lead a boycott of all of the hotels and restaurants that were segregated. He also is credited with helping to spawn a large number of new congregations all around the D.C. metro area. He wrote, "It simply is not true that one can believe anything and be a Unitarian. This is not what creedlessness means. One cannot be a racist and a Unitarian, be a Nazi and a Unitarian, a bigot and a Unitarian. In our zeal for growth, we must not sacrifice the character of our movement as a rational, idealistic, ethical religion." Each of these labels, racist, Nazi, bigot, refer to a person who passes judgment about who is good and clean and worthy versus who is bad, dirty, or a sinner. These are people who have drawn their circle of love and compassion tightly around themselves and their own inner circle and pushed others outside, declaring them other. Of course, we all do this to some extent. But here in our tradition, we acknowledge that and work to transcend this human impulse rather than strengthen it. In the story that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite who passed by the beaten man on the side of the road did so because they were forbidden by their religion to touch what appeared to be a dead body. They were doing what they thought was moral and right. The Samaritan, on the other hand, who was the cultural outsider, was able to pick up the beaten man beside the road and carry him to safety and healing, precisely because his faith encouraged him to act with kindness to everyone he met. I imagine Jesus told this parable in an effort to widen the circle of compassion within his own culture, to exemplify the value of universal love. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote in a sermon, "The first question which the priest and the Levite asked was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But the Good Samaritan reversed the question, 'If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?' One is concerned with self-preservation and trying to keep within the bounds of a rigid value system, and one is motivated by loving kindness and generosity of spirit. Our Unitarian Universalist principles, our moral values, urge us to continue to draw the circle wider, to include rather than exclude, to expand our heart's capacity for love and compassion and not give in to the temptations of smallness and fear. I leave you with a poem by Edwin Markham called Outwitted, which I think succinctly boils down our UU moral values. He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that drew him in. May we in this congregation work together and talk together and learn together and play together in ongoing efforts to draw the circle of love and compassion wider and wider still. May this practice help us to come and realize down to our very bones that we are truly one with every other person with whom we share this planet. Amen and blessed be.